This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy from Prime Social. Here's Charlie Polillo.
Here the crowd stand for Kareem to get the ball. Everybody's waving their arms. It's into Kareem. Kareem swing left, right hand, 12-footer.
One legend describing another's performance there, the late, great Chick Hearn, the longtime voice of the Lakers. Those were two of what in the final tally turned out to be 38,387 points for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That bucket, it wasn't right just the way the schedule fell. They were playing the Utah Jazz in Las Vegas. Right, the occasional move a home game around. There were reasons the Lakers had to be out of the Forum. So that game was played in Las Vegas when Kareem broke Wilt Chamberlain's all-time NBA scoring record. He'd go on to add nearly 7,000 more points to that total. Kareem at 38,387. A little early to say LeBron James is taking aim at him. But LeBron, well, he signed a four-year contract with the Lakers. He's showing no sign of letting up as he approaches age 34. Right? Kareem is still a good NBA player into his 40s. LeBron, if he averages 25 points per game over the course of his Laker contract, playing 75 games per season, he can catch Kareem. No one else has any shot whatsoever. 38,387 and many, many more in the postseason. Joining us on the program, distinct privilege for me, just as a radio guy, as a basketball fan. He was to be in town a couple of weeks from now at Jones Hall, a theater-structured event built off of his best-selling book, Becoming Kareem. But from the file of Life Happens, some late scheduling conflicts mean the event will be rebooked for the spring. But Kareem, generous enough with his time to stick with our scheduled interview to promote that. So I'm going to attempt the ridiculous in 12, 13 minutes, cover as much of a well-lived and extraordinary life as I can as we welcome Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the program. Kareem, it's Charlie here in Houston. I hope all is well.
All is well, and great to talk to you.
Let me mention this, though the show will be pushed back a ways. Convey a sense of how you structure the event. It's built around mentors in your life. It's not just a stroll at all down basketball memory lane.
Right. It's about how I learned what I learned, that helped me make good choices in my life, all the mentors in my life. Of course, like so many successful people, my parents were really the ones that started everything and put me on the right track. But, there's so many times when a young person can go off the right track. And you're lucky when you encounter people that are interested in helping you make good choices and take the time. And, that's what it's about for me. You know, the people that I was very fortunate to meet that took the time to point a good direction for me.
What was the most joyful basketball playing period of your life?
Oh, geez, I would probably have to say college. You know, I couldn't have had a better college career. We lost two games, right? So it was, and won three consecutive NCAA tournaments. I was consensus All-America every year. It couldn't have gone any better.
Natural connection, of course, the 50-year anniversary celebrated earlier this year of one of certainly the games of the century, a Bell Cow game in the history of college basketball, the UCLA U of H game at the Astrodome. Of course, down here, Kareem, it's remembered for Elvin Hayes' brilliant performance and the Cougars' win. The underlying
That's how I remember it, too.
With the eye injury and then, of course, the rematch in the Final Four, what do you remember most about the whole spectacle of the time?
Well, for me, it was playing a game in a baseball arena. You know, that was kind of crazy in one sense. It had never been tried before. and it was unusual. It was like if you look in one direction, it didn't look too bad, but other directions that you would look on, it's like playing out on a prairie someplace, man. Just this huge expanse of space with nobody in it. It was unusual.
Let me advance forward to another Houston connection. Let me pose it with a couple of components as we talk with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. As a young NBA player, what was it like going up against an older but still great Will Chamberlain, the 71 Finals, your Bucks wore out the Lakers. And then if you would fast forward from there, as an older you against the young lion in Hakeem Olajuwon coming into the NBA.
Well, it was a challenge, you know, especially someone who was physically as challenging as Wilt. I mean, you talk about, Shaq talks about him being such a big, strong, industrial strength. Wilt was all of that before we had those terms. I mean, Wilt had to be about 340 and was just powerfully built. You know, I'm glad I caught him on his way down, man. I saw him play when I was in grade school and high school, and when he was averaging 55 points, and that guy there was formidable. So I think I was able to be a challenge for him because I had everything going for me: youth, energy, and good teammates. So it made that rivalry interesting, but Wilt was all of it, man, in terms of a challenge.
And then young Hakeem, when you dealt with Olajuwon in your later years, his earlier years.
It was great to have the opportunity to play against Hakeem because he was the prototype for the future, I think. You know, he would be a good center to point out as the transition from the old style game that Bill Russell and those guys played to the way that they're playing it now.
The signature shot in the history of basketball is your sky hook. It's the name of your charitable foundation. Was there a eureka moment or stretch where it dawned upon you this is a devastating weapon unlike any other this sport has seen?
No, I think I kind of evolved with it. You know, I started shooting that shot when I was in the fifth grade. A gentleman helped my grade school coach. He said, hey, you could use this drill. The guy's name was George Haydock, and he played at Manhattan College in the Bronx, New York. But he helped my grade school coach, and he just gave me the George Mikan drill to work on. And he said that will give you a good way to learn how to use both your hands and get good footwork for the hook shot. So I started fifth grade just working on it every chance I got. I was fortunate. My grade school, the custodian gave me a key to the gym so I could get in there at crazy hours and practice. And, by the time I was in the eighth grade, I had that shot down. There was no question. I could shoot that. I could shoot it on college players that I, encounter out in the playgrounds. No one could block it. And that was the case for the entirety of my career.
Are you at all surprised that no one has ever attempted to replicate it, really? Not at your level of success, but like underhand free throws for guys who can't shoot free throws worth a lick. For a big guy to never even really try it. And further, Kareem, what do you make of today's NBA where skilled low post centers are approaching complete dinosaur status?
Well, I think that's unfortunate for the game because if you got somebody that can score like I did, go in and take high percentage shots. I shot 56% lifetime. That's a good shooting percentage for somebody on a basketball court. Even if he's only shooting two-point shots, you can work around that. You can build a whole offense around someone who can deliver in there. That has not changed. So it's just a matter of style right now. That is a tool that has become unfashionable to use, but it's very effective.
To go a little bit beyond basketball, you have beaten leukemia, came out from a quadruple bypass, all kinds of civil rights work, best-selling author, writing regularly for outlets from Time Magazine to The Hollywood Reporter to The Guardian. What brings your life the most day-to-day intensity in this stage of your life?
Well, intensity? Geez, I don't know.
Or excitement or fulfillment?
I think the fulfillment, I'm enjoying the fulfillment side of it, you know, and seeing my kids do well and enjoy their lives. That's wonderful. I have a granddaughter now, my first grandchild. She'll be four in December. You know, so you know, those things that common everyday things that I didn't get to deal with because I had this wonderful sports career going, you know, it kind of balances that out now. And I'm very thankful that I have that going on for me. And, you know, my kids are doing well, and I get a chance to see them and enjoy their lives with them. That's very special for me now, and I think a great reward.
Talk with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the program. The book still available, Becoming Kareem. The theater show will be in Houston come spring, rescheduled. I want to ask you this. I grew up Showtime Lakers era, but didn't have the good fortune of getting into my career here until your playing career was over. Do you feel at all, well, obviously, anyone with any sense of basketball history, you're on the very, very short list of the greatest of all time, always challenging to compare eras or inside players, outside players, but at all underappreciated, and I wanted to ask it this way, Kareem, you certainly had a reputation for a lot of your career as being difficult with media or not having good relationship with media, whether combination of distrust, shyness, maybe occasional surliness. How would you characterize all that stuff now?
Well, I certainly was misunderstood. There's no question about that. I think that part of it had to do with the fact that while I was at UCLA, there was such an intense demand and curiosity from the press. Coach Wooden, you know, wanted to keep some of that off of us and, you know, kept it at a minimum and kind of treated the press, had us treat the press with caution and, you know, at arm's length. And that's really, that I didn't do well taking that attitude into the professional ranks. You know, because we have to work with the press. And not talking to them except on my terms, I don't think I was that extreme. But, you know, I had to be very cautious with them. A lot of them were very conservative people who did not appreciate the fact that I had been involved in supporting people like Muhammad Ali, and you know, I had that reputation. You know, they thought maybe I was a secret militant, and you know, wanted to do something political. You know, it wasn't political for me. But you know, when I come, you know, to Houston on March 1st, I'll be talking with Clyde Drexler about all of these issues. You know, when I come to do my appearance there. You know, so we need to talk about that, you know. They canceled it, you know, the one on November 16th, and we'll be doing it on March 1st. So I think, you know, we'd just like to talk about that for a second.
Yeah, I didn't have the established replacement date already, so March 1st on the calendar. Kareem, going back to the Cleveland summit in the late 60s, if that's the baseline, in terms of overall civil rights and discussion in this country, what percentage of the way do you think that America has come relative to where it ultimately needs to be?
Well, I think we have a lot of work to do. You know, the whole idea of progress in that area, it's cyclical. You know, it goes, there's ebbs and flows, and sometimes there's progress and sometimes there's recession, you know, and we've taken steps backwards recently. There's a lot of mistrust and fear in the air now, and that means that we have to work to overcome that. You know, people who believe in what America is about have to step forward and make their wishes and their vision of America known and share that with their fellow citizens.
Two lighter things.
If we can do that, we can achieve something. But, you know, it's easier said than done.
Two lighter side things before I let you go, Kareem. Six-time most valuable player, six-time NBA champion. I'm sure which championship is your favorite. It'd be like picking among your children which is your favorite. If you could re-experience one of those championships, which one might you go with?
Well, the one that was the most fun for me was winning, beating the Celtics in Boston in 1985, and it's the first time that the Celtics lost to the Lakers in 9 attempts. You know, going into that, when the Celtics were 8-0 against the Lakers in World Championship competition, and to lead the team like I did, and you know, be the MVP as we finally broke through, that was very special for me professionally. And you know, we're that Laker team is the only team other than the Boston Celtics to win a World Championship in Boston. So you know, that's pretty special, just for the professional, you know, aspect of it.
Lastly, in everyday life, I guess it's as much a function of anything else as what generation of crowd you're hanging with. Do you, to this day, get more Roger Murdoch references or, hey, the really tall Dancing with the Stars guy references?
Well, you know, Dancing with the Stars is so recent. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of hard to catch up with 30 years of, you know, Airplane. So that's tough. But, you know, I think what we're going to do, we're going to get everybody to come down to the Society for the Performing Arts on March 1st, and we're going to talk about some of these things because we're going to do Q&A when I appear with Clyde Drexler.
Interactive experience. I don't know if, Kareem, if you had experience to be at Jones Hall. It is a marvelous, marvelous facility, so we look much forward to it. As I much enjoyed the conversation here, appreciate it. Be well, and we will see you March 1st.
See you March 1st. Thank you so much for talking to me, and have a great weekend.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's not one you get every day, or every year for that matter, on the program. We're a little late to the break. Too bad. The advertisers will understand. If not, we need a better class of advertisers. And our advertisers are fine, so I think it should all work out. I'll have a segment and a half, actually closer to one segment, before we hand off at the top of the hour to the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. and Stephen A. Smith's show over on SportsMap 94.1. Minutes pause here for Marshall Stevenson Elevator. At 7.2 is a pretty good start on going up. Most of us don't have that advantage. An in-home elevator making more and more sense in more and more homes. More and more homes are being built with them. But Marshall Stevenson can certainly retrofit. And when you go with Marshall Stevenson, you're going with three generations strong, family-owned business. The number one dealer in America of American-made Inclinator of America elevators. They're ideal for townhomes, beach homes, adding them, older age-in-place homes, an elderly relative to care for, or maybe you're just tired of schlepping the groceries and kids up multiple flights of stairs. Today's elevators, quieter, safer, more affordably energy-efficient than in the past, all kinds of styles and models that you can customize, and Marshall Stevenson then does it all from sales to installation, and if ever necessary, service. They work with builders, remodelers, and directly with individual homeowners. Marshall Stevenson Elevator. You can actually test ride a couple of working elevators, also a stair chair, at their showroom at 11050 West Little York at Beltway 8. 11050 West Little York at Beltway 8. If you'd like to make an appointment, they're welcomed at 713-961-1940. 713-961-1940. If at all of interest, take a look at Marshall Stevenson Elevator. Let them know you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1.